Well, that song, Somebody's Watching Me by Rockwell, we chose that song particularly. In fact, it was chosen by my guest today, Nick Bone. I hope I'm getting his name pronounced right, whose Brentwood-based company, IXCG Limited, has been working on cybersecurity now for about 20 years. So welcome to Phoenix FM once again, Nick.
Thank you very much, Scott. It's really good to be on the show.
Well, 20 years, in technology terms, that's got to be eons. So what sort of changes have you witnessed in two decades, for goodness sake?
Well, absolutely. 20 years does make me feel very old. The company's celebrating its 20-year anniversary. I've been working in the industry a few years longer than that, but it really has changed. Technology does move along very quickly. I remember when I first started, companies still had typing pools and tea
right.
ladies. It was one of my first jobs was putting in computers for those companies. And of course, since then, we've seen the rise of things like the internet.
Indeed.
I worked for a mobile phone company. It was one of my very first jobs before coming to IXCG. And it was based in Brentwood. Mm-hmm. It's not based in Brentwood anymore
right. Because
I remember the technology director saying to me, don't bother with this internet thing. It's just going to be a flash in the pan. Who's possibly going to want to buy something like a mobile phone off the internet? And of course, these days,
Indeed.
The internet's ubiquitous. And of course, that's led to other things like mobile phones that
yep.
you can connect to the internet on. That's...
The whole thing's changed.
I
mean, people didn't have computers. If they did, it was like a VIX 20 or a BBC
absolutely.
B or
yes,
whatever.
Yeah.
Or Spectrum.
Absolutely. I remember the Spectrum very well, the hours that you'd spend loading the games on tape, only to jog one of the keys at the very last second or the leads, and it would, you'd get a loading error.
But I
think it's become so ubiquitous in people's lives now that it's quite difficult. I certainly remember, I've got nieces and nephews are in their 20s, and
yep.
I had difficulty explaining to them what the world was like before Wi-Fi. They didn't quite believe me. So it always makes me feel very old. And I should point out, I'm only in my 40s as well. So.
Yeah, you've made that very clear. Here I am in my dotage. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but in that 20 years, there were far fewer computers, and especially individuals online, companies online, individuals online. So the risk of computer virus infection would have been comparatively small, a far cry from the world today. When did things actually start to become critical?
Well, that's a very difficult question to answer. Cybersecurity started coming to the fore when people started getting online, which was around about the year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And then in recent years, it's a bit difficult to pin out down exactly when, but within the last 4 or 5 years, I think 2017 is the most popular date. That was the year that the proceeds of cybercrime outpaced the proceeds of the global drugs trade. So that is a huge amount of money. I think they're looking at around about $6 trillion a year being made through cybercrime within the decade.
A lot of money, a lot of money.
Mm, absolutely.
Now, would I be right in thinking that it was the corporate bodies who had most to fear from cyber attacks such as WannaCry? But what's the score now with ordinary people, because everything's becoming increasingly global and interconnected? So what can companies and organisations, and for that matter, individuals like you and I, do to protect ourselves?
Well, yes, you're right. Companies do hold a lot of data around individuals, and we've seen a big rise in legal requirements on businesses, simply because businesses are a nice sort of target. Mm. They're very, very easy to, especially the smaller businesses, are very easy to get into, and they hold a sizable amount of data. But saying that, it is yours and my data that they put at risk.
Yes, indeed.
There have been some very, very big outbreaks recently. Without naming names, there was a very large bank connected to a supermarket who was fined a huge amount of money recently for failing to properly secure their credit card app.
Right.
So it's a very difficult issue to quantify. For businesses, it really is very much a case of understanding that they are at risk.
Mm.
We see more attacks against small businesses these days than we do against large businesses, simply because small businesses don't think they're a target.
Mm.
So why are you going to spend time securing yourself and securing your customers' data if you're not a target? it's a real mistake that they make, and we see that, as I say, small businesses losing tens of thousands of pounds, and also they get the regulator then tapping them on the shoulder and saying, look, you were supposed to make sure that you did this, and the regulator's got the power to shut them down. So that's something that they really do need to, first of all, get a grip on. Understand that they are at risk. The next thing is then to look at something we call defence in depth. So look at all of the ways that they could be attacked. There's lots and lots of different ways for a malicious person or a malicious organisation to get in and start causing havoc. So it's not enough to just say, well, I've got antivirus programs, I'll be absolutely fine. You have to think about ways of getting in. Not all of them are digital. People will break in physically and plant the equivalent of bugs, into businesses. That's very common. They will drop booby-trapped USB sticks in the car park.
Now, you've brought...
Or leave them in the toilet.
You've brought a little box of tricks with some real nasty gizmos in it. Would you like to sort of explain some of them, some of them that are there?
Absolutely, yes. We have these as a way of demonstrating to businesses what just can be purchased on the internet.
Yes.
I have here a little USB stick. It looks just like a USB stick. You really can't tell the difference by looking at it. And of course, what people tend to do is if they find a USB stick lying around, they plug it into their computer so they can find out who it belongs to and return it to. What this does is it looks like a USB stick and it acts like a USB stick. But only after it's had less than a second to be a keyboard. It pretends to be a keyboard and will type in commands to turn off your antivirus, to turn off your anti-malware software, work its way onto the internet and install backdoor software that will give an attacker complete control over your computer. And then it just goes back to being a USB stick. So a very, very nasty piece of equipment there.
Yeah. And you've got one that also delivers a nice, healthy charge into the computer.
Absolutely,
as well.
Yeah. One of our more spectacular pieces of equipment. I always get told that my job's part spooks, part hunted,
yes,
and part James Bond. One of the more spectacular pieces of equipment is, again, another little USB stick. Looks a little bit odd, but, you know, people would still plug it in. And what it does is it puts 10,000 volts into the equipment,
I must apologise to the boss for plugging that into his computer in the studio too. It wasn't entirely an accident, Paul, I promise you.
No, joking aside, it is a very nasty piece of equipment. And people sort of say, well, why would somebody want to zap my computer? Well, what they will do is, hackers these days work in gangs. They'll have one person come into your shop or into your hotel or into your charity. They will look for an unprotected USB port on your computer that might be on the desk or might be under the desk. They will plug this in. They'll zap the computer. A couple of hours later, somebody will turn up with a box with a new computer in it, saying, oh, I'm from the delivery company, or I'm from IT, I've brought you a new computer. Now, okay, why would they give you a new computer that might cost £700 or £800? Well, simply because that will have on it all of the recording software, all the recording hardware, for them to see and grab every single piece of data that you process. It's happening now.
Nasty. All right, we've talked about some of the things that are happening with the big hacker gangs doing this to companies. What about you and me? What can we do to protect ourselves?
There's three areas that we need to think about when we're looking at cybersecurity and keeping ourselves safe. Of course, online is the first one.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't matter whether you're running a Mac or a Windows PC or whether you're using a tablet or a phone. Get some good antivirus software on there. Now, antivirus software suffered in recent years. It only catches around about 60% of viruses. Now, that really will shock a lot of people that it's not that good. So what we'd also recommend is to back it up with some good anti-malware software as well. Now, a lot of antivirus software will do malware software as well. There's a couple of vendors out there that specialize in software to run alongside antivirus. So grab one of those. Have that as well. The other thing to think about is for mobile phones, we see it all the time. Oh, just download the app. And then we get those little questions. Would you like this app to be able to read my text messages or read your emails or make phone calls? Well, think about what it's asking you. If it's, for example, a loyalty card app, why has it got to have access to your telephone calls? Why does it want to read your email? you know, think about those questions. Generally speaking, the less software that you have on a device, the more secure it is.
Because a lot of these things that you put on, if you don't agree to whatever they want, it won't run.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can't even start an iPhone without agreeing all the terms and conditions that go on for about a million miles. I mean, you could never ever potentially read all of them.
Absolutely, and that's what makes it so difficult to filter out what is legitimate software from a company like Apple or Microsoft,
yes,
or IBM, to what is a malicious piece of software. Mm. I mean, it's very, very difficult. The second thing to think about as well is physical security.
Yeah.
Again, we've talked about the USB sticks that we find lying around.
Yeah.
Think about things like where you leave your mobile phone, because it's very easy to plug in a special piece of special piece of hardware, and we can whip everything off your mobile phone. Again, if you've seen Hunted, that was a good way that the hunters will go and visit somebody's phone, house, grab their phone, and whip all their data off it.
Yeah.
But also think about as well, when you're dealing with companies, think about what they're going to do with your data. Now, the larger companies, you know, the big supermarkets, the big insurance companies, have to, by law, be checked regularly.
Right.
Very regularly. Now, for the smaller businesses, you know, we love to say shop locally, and you know, IXCG is a small business, and in the same way that many of the other businesses in Brentwood are. But don't be afraid to ask them what they're going to do with your data.
Hmm.
Make sure that they have had a good audit done recently. Make sure that they're compliant. Hmm. Don't be afraid to ask them. And if they say, well, you know, why do I need one of those? Maybe you should take your trade elsewhere. I know that might sound a bit harsh, and I know, you know, there's many business owners out there thinking, oh, crikey, there's another thing to think of. The law says they should have done this anyway. So, again, there's lots of people that they can go and speak to get professional help from. And lastly, data sharing.
Mm.
It's great to sort of say, oh, fantastic, I'm off on holiday tomorrow for 2 weeks in Malaga on your Facebook or your Twitter profile.
Yes, quite.
Yeah, fantastic. But there are also hacker gangs out there that will gather that data and pass it on to burglars.
Yes.
So again, make sure you're being very careful with your data. I'm not saying, you know, behave like a spy, but just be a little bit careful. You know, talk about things that are nice rather than, oh, the lock on my back door's broken again. I've got to wait for the locksmith to turn
Not
up.
Not a good idea. Perhaps,
Not a good idea. No, exactly.
What about credit cards and that sort of thing? Because this is, you know, and doing online purchasing.
Well, again, online purchasing is generally quite secure, generally speaking. If companies are in a position where they've set up a secure site and they're accepting credit card payments, they're generally quite secure. You know, if you're looking for big names like you know, the major credit card companies or the major payment handling companies, generally speaking, you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you do need to make sure that if you are putting data into a company's own form on their website, that they are properly secured. So look for that green bar at the top. Look at that padlock, look for that key signal. Although be careful, because that is starting to go away. The big internet companies have decided now that all of the internet should be properly encrypted, properly protected. So what they're starting to do in the next few months, they'll be taking away that green bar.
Right.
And instead, if a website isn't properly secured, you'll get that warning message that will tell you that the site is not secure. So they're turning internet security on its head. Rather than telling you that a site is secure, they're going to be warning you that it isn't secure. So again, another tip for the small businesses out there, make sure your website's
secure.
Because
surely, so there's if somebody really wants to cause a problem, how can they not put this logo that looks like it's a secure logo on their website?
You're absolutely right. We have a piece of hardware that, for lack of a better word, hacks Wi-Fi.
Mm.
And it will do just that. It will put that fake logo on. So you'll be on your online, on your iPad, for example, doing your online banking, and we can see everything that's coming through. And if we can do it, the criminal gangs will also be able to do it. Because let's face it, these days, you know, when people talk about hackers, they tend to think about some angry teenager in a room. You know, that's long gone now.
Yes, yeah.
The vast majority of attacks are from criminal gangs. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure you just need to watch the news to think of criminal gangs or terrorist gangs. And that's how they're funding their operations. You know, your credit card details are being stolen, or information about you is being stolen.
Yeah.
It's being traded online, and that's helping to fund their next terror attack.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't do online banking. You're going to tell me it's fine, but I don't trust it. You keep on hearing. Well, you keep on hearing how banks, all of a sudden, people have been unable to get their money out of the account.
Absolutely.
And things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Online banking does require a special skill set. And, I mean, IXEG does work with many of the major banks. I won't name names. Of course, the first rule of security is not to talk about who you use for security. So we have an insight on which banks are safer to use than others. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, if it is a large bank and they are protected by the banking code, they will protect a large chunk of your savings, a large chunk of your online processing.
I'd rather they protected the lot, not the hard, large chunk.
Well, absolutely. It is a very large. I think it's £37,000, if I remember rightly. But yes, it is sizable. Also, the credit card companies as well, if there's a fraudulent activity, they will be watching that. Mm-hmm. And also as well, a lot of the banks have most amazing levels of security. There's a security company that we work with who work with the banks. And what they have is they are able to identify who you are by things like biometrics, so fingerprints and face recognition on your phone. But they're also able to score how likely it is really you doing that transaction. Mm. So they will say things like, okay, well, this person's unlocked their phone with their fingerprint and they're only transferring £100 and the phone is located inside the UK, near London. It's the Phoenix FM offices. Well, you know, we know that Scott Ross is a trustworthy guy. We're not going to worry about that. But if all of a sudden £10,000 is being transferred to purchase some AK-47s in Islamabad, they will say, well, maybe that isn't Scott Ross.
Yes, yeah.
Maybe that is somebody doing something a little bit naughty. And they will automatically pass that over to their fraud team, which is made up of, in this case, ex-Metropolitan Police fraud officers who are able to spot and block those transactions. So again, if you're banking with a large, well-known, established bank using one of the major payment providers, you should be absolutely fine.
All right. Now, I've got to ask you this because problems, as I see it, are going to get worse over time. I mean, you've been doing this 20 years, and the growth of devices that can be remotely controlled now, like your TV, your fridge, your house and garden lights, garage doors, driverless cars, things that are voice controlled as well. Isn't this going to be an even bigger nightmare?
It is. Yes, it is. And this is why IT security needs to be taken so seriously. We, from time to time, are invited to get involved with smart houses.
Yes.
You know, high net worth individuals will have a smart house.
Yes.
And they will ask IXEG to come in and secure that smart house for them. And it is very worrying that many of the smart device manufacturers, security really is a second thought for them.
Yes.
In America, smart houses are much further developed. In the UK, we've been a bit more cautious about it.
Yeah.
And there was a case recently of a security research group, and what they had done is they had taken one of those plugs that you plug a network cable into, and maybe, you know, people use them in their homes so they haven't got to plug their TV box into their router, for example, and they'd modified it. Okay, that does take a bit of technical know-how because, let's face it, mucking about with mains electricity does require a certain level of bravery or stupidity or skill. And what they'd done is they'd created a plug that they could plug into any socket in a house or outside a house, and it would turn all the security off, it would open the shutters, and it would turn the lights on. So what they had discovered is a lot of the houses, smart houses in California, have an outside plug that you can plug your mower in. And what they demonstrated was that they could plug this plug into the mower socket outside and everything would be turned off, CCTV, a house alarm, all the locks would open, the shutters would go up, and they could just walk in and help themselves whatever they wanted. Now, as I say, that was a security researcher. These are the good guys. They contacted the house manufacturer and the companies that produce the house systems, and they got it secured. But it shows just how easy it is if security is not taken seriously.
I mean, we've just seen that in the city, they're building at 22 Bishopsgate, allegedly the newest, tallest tower in London. It's going to be the smartest as well, with all this super-duper technology that will allow face recognition and goodness and what else, but surely this is a technical nightmare.
It can be, yes. It's got to really be handled very, very carefully. And, you know, there's that old adage, if you make something foolproof, they just go and make a better fool.
Yeah.
And the same with security. All security systems are, generally speaking, flawed in some way. Mm. Either because the person that's creating that system doesn't understand the people or the security fully, or, you know, we always say that for businesses, the best hackers are their own members of staff. You know, members of staff are going to be the ones that write down the passwords and stick them to a post-it note on the monitor.
Yeah.
You know, your security system needs to be convenient. It needs to work around people. People always come first. But yes, it's very, very concerning that technology is being pushed to the fore without the ramifications being fully understood.
So do you look forward to the next 10 years, 20 years of horrors?
I think it's going to be really interesting.
That's one way of putting it.
I could say the next thing I'm looking forward to, what I'm looking forward to most in the next 10 years is retirement, but that might be a little unkind. No, we're seeing an awful lot of very interesting stuff coming out. We're seeing a lot of work being done around artificial intelligence, for example. There's some very, very good services out there, for example, that will allow you to put somebody's face onto another body. I have, you know, the courts, for example, have stopped accepting CCTV now, unless it is the latest style of CCTV, because it's so easy to put somebody else's face and frame them for a crime. So we're going to see this rise of AI on both sides, so the good side and the bad side. Mm. But there's going to be lots of other useful bits and pieces as well. We're seeing a lot of the what we would call the enterprise grade security, all the best quality of security, slowly filtering its way down, including things like two-factor authentication. Mm-hmm. That's a way of saying, okay, not only have you got your password, but you also have to have something else with you. You might see that, for example, on Facebook, where they send you a code to via text message. So a lot of those better security systems are going to filter down and become ubiquitous for smaller businesses and homes. Mm-hmm. So,
except for us at home, it's even more things to try to remember.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolute nightmare. All right. Well, thanks very much indeed for all of that, Nick. Thank you very much. And hopefully we'll see you again, that we'll still be all here and not blowing up all the equipment.
Absolutely. No, it's been a real pleasure, Scott. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.